The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about how to deal with non-riders on Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 84 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 84. Now, today we are going to talk about how you plan your time at Disney World when you have a person or people in your group who are not interested in riding some of the rides. Last week, I talked about how our very first trip was not super great because of different reasons, but one of those reasons I mentioned was that my son was at a difficult age. One thing I did not mention was that my daughter refused to ride most rides until she was 18. So it was just really a little bit frustrating when she was, you know, until when she wouldn't ride, especially when she was tall enough to, and we were paying the tickets for her to be in the parks. It was frustrating to have her not ride, especially being born into a family where my husband and I took our honeymoon at Cedar Point Amusement Park. We have had season passes to Six Flags multiple times, and we've been going to Disney World a lot for the past 10 years. So it just felt like, you know, and most other kids would really love that and being able to go to theme parks with their parents, but she always dreaded it until she was 18. And something clicked for her, and then she was interested in riding the rides. But I have many years of dealing with someone who isn't a rider, and so I want to talk today about sort of coordinating your trips around that. And we will also have some news and a quick tip of the day at the end, so stay tuned for those. Just as a side note, this week I've been publishing guest posts once a week from people who have volunteered to write about different topics that I haven't covered, and this week's guest post was about caring for your feet on Disney World trips, including picking the right shoes. And one thing that happened when I published this was that everyone said you have to try Skechers Go Walk shoes. And the passionate, the passion that everybody exuded in this recommendation, and plus the 5,000 plus reviews on Amazon with a high rating, convinced me to go get a pair. So I went and got a pair today. And they are indeed very, very comfortable. I cannot vouch for them on Disney World trips, but everyone says that they're great. So Skechers Go Walks, you have some very passionate fans. And now I have a pair and I'm wearing them right now. So anyway, I'll link to the shoe post if you're interested in that information and haven't read that yet. But if you're looking for some shoes, people really like these Skechers Go Walks. So let's start to talk about non-riders on Disney World trips. Now, I guess the first thing is that you could just avoid the attractions. You know, if people are not interested and you don't want to split up your group, or you can't split up your group for whatever reason, then you could just skip anything that seems too intense for whoever's in your group. But the second thing to sort of factor into this is the age of the people who are not willing to ride. So I'm going to assume that most non-riders are children who are scared, not tall enough, you know, that kind of thing. But I'll talk about older kids and adults too here in just a minute. So we need to talk about rider switch. And if this is something you are not familiar with or not clear about, I want to talk about it. I do have an article on the site that explains it, but I think sometimes speaking about it will make it click in a different way for people who are struggling with it. So the concept of the rider switch is that if you have somebody in your family, let's say you have a family of four, and one person, let's say it's your youngest child, is not going to ride a ride, then Disney wants you to be able to all ride it. And so to do that, you have somebody that goes in the first group that rides, and then when they get off, the second group rides. Now, the first group can ride standby line, you know, the regular line, or the Fastpass Plus line. I recommend using the Fastpass Plus line if at all possible. When that first person or people get in line, they can ask the cast member for a rider switch pass. And what that basically does is it's like a paper fast pass for up to three people. And then you would then hand that off to the second group to go. Up to three people can go in the second group. And then they go on the ride by entering the fast pass line. So let's sort of walk through how that might work. So let's say you have two parents and a older daughter, younger son, which sounds vaguely familiar, like my family. And you have, let's say parent one goes with the older child. So that's two people, while the second parent and the younger child wait together. Then when they get off, the second parent can go either alone or with the older child, because it's for up to three people. And that way, somebody always is with the younger child. Now, the older child benefits because they get to ride twice in this scenario. And so that's kind of fun for them. And the whole family benefits because the younger child always has somebody to stay with them. So that's sort of how it works. I highly recommend getting FastPass for this just to reduce the wait even more. And I often tell people that doing this effectively doubles your fast passes because the rider switch pass is essentially a fast pass. It can be used at any time that day and you enter the fast pass line to use it. So when you are making your fast passes ahead of time, you know, 2 months ahead of time, 1 month ahead of time, then you can actually book fast pass reservations just for the first group. So parent one and the older child in this case. And then the second person you wouldn't need to book a fast pass for. And so by juggling things around, you can sort of double your fast passes, which makes it more efficient. When you're using rider switch, your touring is slowed down because your group is riding the same ride twice. So you're not going to be able to ride the same number of rides per hour when you have to wait for, you know, the other half of your group to ride. But if you're using fast passes in an efficient way, you can effectively double the fast passes. I want to address some sort of feedback I often get on this topic. One is people say to me, Disney says the rider switch pass can only be used for up to two people. And I know the website does say that. It is not true. It's up to three people. That's not to say they couldn't at some point change that rule, but it is right now up to three people. And so that's one thing. The other thing is people will say to me, isn't this sort of cheating? And it never occurred to me that that was cheating. You're using the FastPass system and the rider switch passes the way that they were intended. And your group still has to ride it twice, which slows you down a little bit. I just think it's a smart way to do it to make it more efficient. So I don't know. I think it's a great system. But one thing that I'm very passionate about, and I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but I certainly have on like the Facebook page and stuff like that. While you are waiting, so like the first group is riding and the second group is waiting, I am very passionate about making sure that second group isn't just sitting around on a bench waiting for their ride to complete. You're at Disney World and there's lots of things to do. And so take advantage. Do something else. Do an attraction you might not otherwise have done. Go to a playground. Go to a show. Do something. Do not sit there. The exit area of Soarin' is just littered with people, crying babies and toddlers. And it's so frustrating to me every time I walk through there because there's stuff nearby. There's so much to do. You do not need to sit. You paid $100 a day to be in the theme parks and you want to make it fun for everybody. Don't make a toddler or a baby sit and wait when they could be kept entertained nearby. So along those lines, I have a list that's in my Rider Switch article of things to do nearby. And for this podcast, since we're talking about non-riders in general, I'm also going to create a list of things to do nearby for adults, which brings me to my next point. which is we're going to go beyond writer switch, and we're going to assume that you have an older child or an adult. Now, so when my daughter was little and refused to ride things, we had to use writer switch because someone had to stay with her. But by the time she was in middle school or so and could stay alone, we did not use writer switch. We all would ride without her, and we would, on our touring plans, have somewhere for her to be nearby while we were riding. So if it said that we were going on something that was too intense for her, like Space Mountain, then right next to it, I would say, you can go on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, which is called the People Mover. And so she would go do that while we were on there, and then we would meet up. So if you have an older child or an adult who does not want to ride, then I recommend just sort of having an idea ahead of time of what they can do so they don't feel abandoned and unsure of how to spend their time. And so I am, for this podcast, going to, in the show notes, type up a list that shows, like, has some ideas for things to do nearby. So here's some examples. Anywhere in Tomorrowland that you don't want to ride, like say Space Mountain, which is the most intense ride there, a non-riding teen or adult could go ride the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, for example, which is just a gentle, lovely ride through Tomorrowland, gives you a nice tour. It takes a while to make its way around. So it's a great way to spend some time and to also see most of Tomorrowland. There's also Carousel of Progress, which is a show in Tomorrowland, which takes some time and is a classic. It's my son's one of his favorite attractions, which we've mentioned in the past. By the way, today is Easter. Happy Easter. And in his Easter basket, he got a Carousel Progress shirt. So that's how much he likes it. I actually got him the shirt. So there's these, you know, there's a couple of attractions in Tomorrowland where you might spend time. Another example is if you don't want to ride Big Thunder Mountain or Splash Mountain, then you could always ride the railroad all the way around. There's a railroad stop that is right by Splash Mountain. You could take a spin on the railroad all the way around the track. You could go to Hall of Presidents, which is relatively close by. Or if you're in Fantasyland and don't want to ride something such as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, there's lots of gentle attractions nearby because Fantasyland overall is very gentle. And one of my recommendations might be Philhar Magic, which is a show, but there's plenty of rides that are gentle as well that are nearby. When you're at Epcot, I mentioned Soarin', which has the exit area littered with crying children all the time. There is Living with the Land is literally steps away from Soarin', and it is a nice gentle tour through the greenhouses that shows you sort of how they grow some of their things. And I love it. I do it on most of my trips. And so that's a good alternative for somebody who's not going to be on Soarin'. Just go to Living with the Land. You're literally in the same building on the same floor and each enjoying your time at the same time. At Hollywood Studios, there's lots of shows. So if you're not, for instance, going to ride Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, because those are intense attractions, then there's any number of shows to choose from, including Beauty and the Beast live on stage, which is very close to those attractions. But there's lots of shows throughout the park to choose from. If you're at Animal Kingdom, there's lots of animal attractions to choose from. So there are trails that you can walk to see animals. There are shows that you can go to. So there's lots of choices. So if you're not a rider, then I would just recommend making good use of your time nearby and not wasting any time waiting for other people, because you might as well both be enjoying things at the same time. So I will include a detailed list of the things I recommend for non-riding older children and adults. And then I will also have a link in the show notes to the Rider Switch article, which has ideas for what to do with small children while you wait for the other half of your group to ride. So I hope that's helpful. Incidentally, my daughter did start riding things at age 18. We took her as a graduation present. We took her and her boyfriend, who is like a part of our family because they've been dating for about 4 or 5 years. And it was our graduation gift to him, to take him to Disney World. And we told him at the beginning of our first day, you know, she doesn't ride rides, so you come with us and she'll probably be in a shop nearby and we'll meet up. And after the first ride, he said to her, "I think you're building this up in your head too much and you just need to go on it and you'll be fine. And for some reason, she listened to him. And sure enough, she had a good time. So ever since then, she has been going on the rides, except for Tower of Terror. She does not do that one. And I'm really enjoying it because I spent 18 years with a child who wouldn't ride with me. And now we get to go together. So last podcast, I mentioned that my next trip was going to be in mid-April, and I misspoke. It's actually mid-May. And my daughter and I will be there for a weekend in mid-May because we do an annual mother-daughter trip to sort of help her relax at the end of a college year. And we will be 2 days at Disney World and then 5 days in a Mexico resort. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so we'll have 2 days of writing things together before relaxing on the beach. So let's talk about some news. Speaking of mid-May, we'll be there during the first weekend of Star Wars weekends. And one of the news items that came out this week, or actually just came out, is about the celebrities that will be appearing at Star Wars weekends. Now, I have a confession. I've never seen a Star Wars movie because I am not a sci-fi fan, much to my husband's dismay. But the list of celebrities was just announced, and I'll link to it in the show notes. I'm not even going to pretend to rattle them off because I'm not sure who they are or how important they are. But for those of you that are interested, the list of Star Wars weekend celebrities was just announced. Another thing that came out this week was that part of the Frozen Fever celebrations. You know, Frozen Fever is a short that plays before Cinderella. So if you have not gone to see Cinderella, then you haven't seen Frozen Fever. They are both lovely. And I'm not even really a Cinderella fan in general, but this movie has sort of changed my mind. But Frozen Fever is also really cute. And it shows before Cinderella. So as part of celebrating Frozen Fever, Disney has decided that starting April 8th, they will have some special treats available. One of those is a cupcake, which can be found at many locations throughout Disneyland and Disney World. And they will have an Olaf sundae, which will be available at a few places at Disney World. And lastly, they will have a Princess Anna's ice cream birthday cake at a few table service restaurants. Now, these are snack credits. As far as I know, these are all snack credits that you can get. And the Princess Anna's ice cream birthday cake does not have to be ordered ahead of time. It is just something that's on the dessert menu. They say it's for a limited time. I'm not sure how long that will be. I certainly hope that it's at least through September since they have the Frozen events happening over the summer, but it is available for a limited time beginning April 8th. So there's three different desserts. And of course, I will link to that in the show notes so you can see the specific locations where you can find each of those things. And finally, we have the ability to book a fourth Fast Pass was available for a couple of days this week. And that was probably a test that they were running. I believe it was available at three of the four parks. I don't think Epcot had it. And basically what was happening was people who requested Fast Passes for, I believe it was March 28th, 29th, 30th, something like that, they would request three and then be given four. And then they could go into the fourth bonus Fast Pass that they were given and edit it into, you know, another attraction, another time if they wanted to. And so it's not clear exactly what they're doing, if this was just temporary because of the really busy Easter crowds, or if this was a test and a sign of things to come. But if you find yourself getting a fourth Fast Pass by surprise, in case this pops up again in the future, then just know that you can always go in and edit that fourth one to be whatever you want. You don't just have to accept whatever they give to you as a bonus. The tiers are still enforced. So at Hollywood Studios, for instance, you couldn't get two tier one and two tier two. It's still one tier one, and then the rest of them have to be tier two attractions. But that's just a random thing that sort of popped up this week and something we may see more of in the future. We'll have to just see how that one works out. Now, news that's not on my list today, things that were announced on April Fool's Day by various Disney sites. So there were things like Disney's converting to all Pepsi products, and there's going to be an Olaf show, and Cinderella's castle is now going to be Elsa's castle. None of those are true. Those were April Fool's Day. If you find yourself wondering if a story was true, please check the published date on it and see if it's April 1st, it's probably fake. So I think the Elsa's Castle one is the one that people seemed most likely to believe. Even on April 2nd, people were still thinking that that one was probably true. And I think it's because it seems like it could happen. You know, they did have Elsa lighting up the castle during the holidays last year, which was a first. And it's not going to happen, though. That is firmly Cinderella's castle. It is not Elsa's castle. That's not to say that Elsa may not someday end up with her own castle in the parks, but Cinderella's castle is hers. And that was just an April Fool's Day joke. So I think that's going to wrap up the news portion. And before we wrap up, I do want to share a quick tip. And it was submitted by a reader named Robert who emailed me. And he said that he was very successful in getting all of his dining reservations. And part of his success was that he bookmarked all of the restaurants in his browser to save himself some time. So what you would do ahead of time is go to the restaurant that you want, bookmark it, and then on the day that you go to make your reservations, 180 days beforehand probably, you would just go to all of your bookmarks to quickly reference those restaurants instead of having to search and wait for Disney systems to find it. And it just saves yourself some clicks and can shave off a few minutes from your fast pass making time. That is especially important when you are looking for hard to get ones like Be Our Guest for dinner. I guess Be Our Guest for any meal at this point is difficult, but dinner in particular. And just a reminder to always jump to the hardest one first. Do them in order of difficulty, not chronologically. So if you are trying to get Be Our Guest dinner, jump to that one first and get that before you get other ones. But bookmarking for Robert was very helpful. And so I just wanted to pass that on as a way to possibly give yourself a little bit of an advantage. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including the information and links and everything that I shared in this episode, you can go to wwprepschool.com/episode84. That is the number 84. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.